At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to episode 100 of the Jaguar Report podcast. My name is Gus Logue, joined as always by my co-host John Shipley. Put your hands up, John. We did it.
100, man.
We're not even advanced enough for a little, I don't know, sound effects keyboard.
No, I got nothing. Some
clapping noises.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Big audience cheer.
I mean, thank you to everybody who listens to this little thrown together rant sesh. I can't imagine we wouldn't have gotten past episode 10, let alone to 100 without our listeners, but it was good, Gus. Feels good. They said we couldn't do it. They, as in me and you, said they couldn't do it. They were wrong.
Who would have thought? All right. Well, today, with that said, yeah, go ahead.
Before we get started, I would like to give a shout out to one of our most faithful listeners. Shares every single episode. John Shipley Sr., 60th birthday today. Gus, he knows you as he texted me. That dorky guy that does the podcast with you, and he's
great.
He's a big fan. He's a big fan.
Yeah, I guess that's not the worst first impression. I'll take it.
I've told him you're cool. I've told him. I've given you the thumbs up.
Nice. Well, happy birthday, senior.
There you go. All right, what we got on the docket today?
We got schedule. First of all, so we're gonna go game by game and give our wins and losses prediction one by one. But before we do that, what do you think of the Jaguars' social team release?
I personally enjoyed it. I thought, you know, they did the whole like acting thing last year, like writing the season out and stuff. So you obviously had to go a different direction. I mean, putting together with the throwbacks and the fact that X-Men's pretty popular right now, I think it was pretty good. I think I wonder if people who don't either didn't watch the show or just don't care about X-Men. I wondered how they probably saw it, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was sick.
But you've seen X-Men? Because I haven't.
Yeah.
I guess I got to add it to the list, which is getting very long. But I haven't seen X-Men. I thought it was awesome. My only negative about it was that it didn't feature every opponent or like every week on the schedule. It kind of like skipped a couple, which is fine. Like, it was only a 90-second video rather than like one of the 5-minute ones other teams put out. But it would have been cool to see, like, because the animations were awesome, so I would have wanted to see one for every single team. I feel like I got a little bit gypped, you know.
I'm putting you on the spot. What would you do as a schedule release? I can tell you mine right now.
I would want to make it Always Sunny themed, but that wouldn't really make sense since there's an NFL team in Philadelphia. So, I don't know. Tell me yours.
Shave the logo of every opponent into a different type of dog. And obviously, like, do it on its hind.
You can even do that to humans, too. Like, I feel like if we saw some crazy haircuts at the Bengals Monday Night Football game,
you
could do, like, haircuts for every team. That could be pretty funny.
Also, badly designed cakes, maybe. Normal cake.
Sounds good.
Calling
the cake boss to make
pretty much. I like the Chargers one, the Sims.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I feel like all the animation ones were pretty cool, and they've done anime in the past. Like, those are kind of hard to beat.
God, that seems hard to do. God bless them. But well, we finally know the schedule, though. The schedule release is always so funny because I feel like between the NFL slowly releasing games and then media people releasing games. We know like 75% of the schedule by the time it comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Are there ever any real surprises anymore? I kind of wish we were back in the old days, you know, the pre-iPhone days where
they
would just send like a fax at 6 p.m. to everybody, and everybody, that's when you got it. You were actually surprised. No game ever surprises me anymore.
I feel like the only surprises are just seeing which games are prime time, because you kind of hear whispers. And like, I was praying up until the moment at 8 p.m. that we weren't going to have a Thanksgiving game. So, I mean, I didn't really necessarily see like the two primetime slots for the Jaguars coming. It is pretty cool that they got a Sunday night and a Monday night, though, rather than like carrying on the tradition of a horrible Thursday night game. And it's also a pretty big rest advantage too, so it's kind of a double win.
Trevor Lawrence is like a big enough star in the NFL for the NFL to probably want him in at least one primetime game a year, right?
For sure.
Now that the urban stink is off.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I thought that two primetime games was kind of a lot, but it's really just by Jaguars standards. Because then when you look at, like, how many primetime games each team has, like the
that's Giants have
six primetime games, which obviously, like, it's the New York market, and that's really what it's dictated by. But it's crazy. Like, I don't know. I don't really remember it off the top of my head. But, like, the Bucs had four. I was like, who cares about the Bucs?
I think the Falcons had four, too. Games?
What do you say?
I think the Falcons had four, too.
Yeah, like, Come on.
Some teams have like 6 and 7, and God bless everybody who covers one of those teams, because
for real,
covering primetime games is like nothing is tough in sports writing, but covering primetime games probably is close to get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do more than two a year. Like, it's a cool experience, but yeah, it's not great for the sleep schedule.
Yeah. So, all right. What do you say? You know, we go through it week by week, give our predictions. I will add the context of, I looked up how I did on this exercise last year. I predicted 13-4. That was a swing and a miss.
13-4? Oh my gosh.
Okay.
I should have looked. Maybe as you're talking, I'll try.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Because were you laughing when they started 8-3? Were you?
Probably
you
not. I definitely remember you, I don't know, talking.
I was laughing. You weren't laughing. And just, you know, yeah. So, added context to my predictions, I'm probably being a bit conservative because of that. That I will say, when we get to the end of it, I feel like I gave them a pretty fair shake of it, and I still had people being like, oh, you're not very confident, huh? And I'm like, no. I mean, that's it'd be one of the better, like, again, like, context required. Like, it'd be one of the better, you'd need to win 9 or 10 games to have one of the better seasons. And like, the last
I was going to say, they finished, what, 8-9 in each of the past two seasons?
9-8.
Like, a 10-win season, or even a 9-win season, is like a pretty solid season.
Yeah, right. Well, that's how the cookie crumbles. All right, you find your prediction from last year. I want to rake you over the coals. Hear what you said.
I'm on the page. I don't think I did like a 12-5. 12-5 is my prediction.
12-5. Oh, spare me.
Four losses, though, is kind of...
You gave them five!
Yeah, I know. This is all I'm going to say.
No, yeah. So, look at us, the homers over here, right? Because you're in bed with me, buddy. All right, that's fair. So get us started.
All right, first up, Miami Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium in week one. Kind of a sketchy matchup, honestly, just because... Not that the Jaguars players aren't used to practicing and playing in hot weather, but Miami is kind of a different beast at that time of the year. And then Mike McDaniel, like, is going to show off all of his new tricks and toys in terms of X's and O's and schemes that he drew up during the offseason. And so the Dolphins started out really hot each of the past two seasons, especially last year when they hung 70 in week three. So I think it's going to be a pretty tough first test for Ryan Nielsen's defense. So I'm going with an L here, starting at 0-1.
Yeah, I had it as a loss too. I don't think that's a loss that you should even feel that bad about. Like, in terms of regular season success, the Dolphins have been one of the better teams the last, you know, two seasons. They've had MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, like, level play. I think the Dolphins, like, if you play them on a schedule, I think you probably want to get them later in the year as opposed to early in the year, because I don't know, this could be completely galaxy braiding, but to me, like, their legs are just fresh early in the year. You know, like, Tyreek and Waddle have literally no, like, tread, you know, nothing off, you know, at this point of the year. They're as explosive and as healthy as they're going to be. And we've seen this team as the year goes on. They play a little worse, but they're 6-2 in September under Mike McDaniel, and they average 31 points a game. So, I mean, they're a tough team to play week one. Like, this is one of the few scenarios where I think, like, it matters knowing the schedule as opposed to just knowing who your season's opponents are. Because to me, playing the Dolphins in week one against playing the Dolphins in like week 15 or 16 is completely different.
Is this going to be Jalen Ramsey's first game against the Jaguars?
No, he 2021 with the Rams. I remember I remember Trevor got sacked, and there was like a picture of Ramsey, or Ramsey picked up a fumble or something, and there's a picture of Trevor failing to tackle him.
That happened pretty early in the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. So it was one of the last Urban Meyer games. It was the game where James Robinson, like Aaron Donald, just manhandled him and forced a fumble. I think it was that fumble.
And
then James Robinson didn't play the rest of the game. And then Carlos Hyde came in and fumbled. And then Carlos Hyde went back in the game. You got to ask Bernie game. Why wasn't James in there? You're going to have to ask Bernie. Ask Bernie. He's like, hey, what the hell, man?
People demand a 30 for 30 of that season. That would be great.
Good stuff. All right. So we both have them starting at 0-1.
Correct. Week two is their home opener. They're facing the Cleveland Browns after hosting the Browns last season. Last season, they lost a pretty gnarly one, correct?
That was like a 4-turnover game.
Yeah, I was about to say it was one of those games that the Jaguars beat themselves more so that the Browns really won the game.
Yeah, they had a couple touchdowns where literally nobody was in the zip code. Like, it was like like Madden against your little brother level touchdowns. But that game you can probably pinpoint as like the beginning of the end for like the Mike Caldwell error, I think you can probably say. Like, the defense was just a mess that game. Then the Jaguars shot themselves in the foot. So I actually have the Jaguars as a W for this. And the reason I say so is, despite all that, the game wasn't like a complete blowout. The Jaguars still had like a reasonable path to that being a competitive game.
Yeah.
I think if the Jaguars don't beat themselves, that they're a better team on paper than the Browns. And I also just don't think much of Deshaun Watson as a quarterback. I think he's just shelved the talent that he used to be.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I also think a lot of these games are going to potentially come down to whether the level of offensive play calling for the Jaguars returns to 2022 levels or not. And this game is maybe not one of them, just because I feel like either way, Doug Peterson has a pretty good feel for Jim Schwartz's defense in Cleveland.
Miles Garrett never rushes over the right tackle, does he?
No.
Okay, I was going to say Anton versus Miles would be interesting, but I would assume it's just Miles versus Garrett Robinson.
Yeah, last year it was like Miles Garrett versus Blake Hance or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Ezra Cleveland for like two tries and then Blake Hance. I think Hance gave up like 10 pressures that game. Good stuff.
All right, so we both have a W in week two.
So 1-1.
1-1, yep. All right, week three, Monday Night Football in Buffalo. The Jags have had the upper hand and have been treating the Bills like a little brother recently. They've won at least two, if not three or four or five games in a row. But I feel like the last two especially were pretty memorable. But I think this time, like, the Bills are going to be a little bit, like, more in shape and put together than people might expect, given all of their, like, veteran roster cuts this offseason. I feel like they're, like, the way their offense is built right now is, like, the way they actually want it to be built. And it's to be determined of whether it's going to work. But I've got faith in Josh Allen, so I think the Bills are going to win this one.
I actually give the Jaguars a win in this one, and it's partly because, like, we've seen this defensive personnel versus the Bills, and we've seen them have success. I know it's a completely different scheme, but they've shown that they can limit, I think, the Buffalo offense to just Josh Allen doing Josh Allen type stuff. And the two guys who did the most damage to the Jaguars last year on the Bills, Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, you know, won't be lining up against the Jaguars this time. And I also think, like, last year was one of Trevor's best games of the year. I think the Bills scheme is just one of those that Trevor has success against, that just one of them that he's able to find explosives. He's able to hit the quick throws. He gets into a rhythm early. So I actually have him with a win in this one and improving to 2-1.
That's true. I think it could definitely be a high scoring game.
Oh, right. For sure. I think shootout is probably that type of game.
Yeah. All right. So I've got them at 1-2, and you got them at 2-1 going into week 4 at the Houston Texans. I've got a win for the Jaguars here because it'll definitely be a tough game. Like, Houston was really a sleeper contender last year, and they only got better in the offseason. And I think a lot of people see CJ Stroud's outlier rookie season and say, oh, he's probably going to regress a little bit from that. But I don't know. That guy is so good that I think he's only going to get better. And so Houston is definitely posing a real challenge. But I think the Jags are just going to really be out against the narrative, basically, that Houston is like automatically the top dog in the division, which is fair since they did win the division last year. But I think they're going to be pretty inspired in this matchup. So I think, similar to last year, they'll be able to go on the road in Houston and win.
Yeah, I don't think either of these teams are that far apart. And the reason they're so far apart in perception is because of how their seasons ended. I mean, if you look at the entire season from a whole, they're two pretty similar teams in terms of talent, how they executed things. It's just Houston ended their season on a run and Jacksonville ended their season with an injury-riddled collapse. So I think, again, you know, they're pretty even. I thought last year Jacksonville versus Houston in Houston was like the best like pure football game the Jaguars have participated in a while, honestly. It was just, I thought, a great game. I have Houston winning this one. I'll go ahead and just cheat a little. I my entire rationale is I think they split the series this year. So going to go ahead and give
Houston. No, I think that's honestly a good rationale. Yeah.
And I know a cop-out is that it was flipped last year. Jacksonville won in Houston. Houston won in Jacksonville. But I don't care. So I'm just going to go with Houston winning that one.
That is very fair, my friend. All right, so we've both got them 2-2 going into week 5 versus the Indianapolis Colts. It would be
– I mean, that's a tough first month, right? Like, that's 4 playoff teams. I know you made a good point earlier on Twitter about how when you're looking at strength and schedule, you should look at, like, expected win totals as opposed to what teams did last year. But I think even moving forward, like, those are 4 pretty respectable teams, right? Like, that's easily their toughest 4-game stretch of the season, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like, they have a little bit of a stretch that we'll get to against the NFC North that's tough, just because I feel like that division is one of the better and kind of rising divisions. But this is easily the toughest stretch of their season is the first month.
So, like, 2-2, I think, is pretty, like, positive outcome coming out. I mean, they were 2-2
last year.
So and you can go a lot of places from 2-2. So I think it'd be a positive outcome. Like,
yeah, they've started 2-2 each of the past 2 seasons under Peterson.
What would your concern level be at 1-3? And would 1-3 should? What would your level of surprise be?
My level of surprise would be a 6 out of 10.
Okay, so
it wouldn't really shock me. But it really depends on the context, because it's like, is
I provide no context
horrible and the players don't look good, or is it because of a lot of injuries, or is it just because of like bad fumble luck at the end of games? I don't know. It's kind of tough to say.
Don't try to speak logic into this when I'm trying to create a narrative. All right, I'll rephrase the question, Your Honor.
Okay.
If they go in one, if they start off 1-3, are they going into panic, save our job votes?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I don't think that early. I think there would have to be something really bad that happens. I don't even know what.
All right, thank you, counsel.
I think like only like a big time injury, really. And I don't even like, I didn't want to speak that into existence. Thanks.
That got pretty somber.
Like, unless there's an injury they can't come back from, I think there's no reason to panic after 4 weeks.
I feel like if we talk about this anymore, you're going to get to the point where you say, unless somebody gets stabbed. So let's just go ahead and go on to week 5.
So, yeah, they're facing the Indianapolis Colts at home, and they would have the chance to grow their win streak at home against the Colts to 10 consecutive wins. So I like the Jags here.
That's a GW, my friend. A W. That's a win. Yeah. Now I'm again, in my article, my only rationale is that until the Colts beat the Jags at home, I'm gonna pick the Jags at home against the Colts. And it's one of the funniest. It's one of the like easily the funniest like current win streaks in the NFL, because you can tell like it actually bothers the Colts. Whereas the Jaguars, I'm not sure like Yeah, they're aware of it. I'm not sure how much they actually care. It's something that just kind of happens every year. Whereas the Colts, like that, what was it, 2021 when they beat them in the last game? Like,
yeah,
it completely melted down their psyche, dude.
That was hilarious. Yeah,
it was kind of scary, man. They were going
through hard knocks that showed like Kenny Moore and Jim Irsay like both just completely going through it. It was pretty great.
That's good stuff. All right, so we both had this with a win.
Yep. So 3-2 heading to London in week 6. They play the Chicago Bears. I got this.
Good one. You made a claw. Yeah.
It's so dumb, but I guess they make it cool. I got a Bears win here, actually. I think they're like kind of being hyped up as a sleeper playoff team, and I think it's right to do so just because their roster is really good. I think Caleb is the real deal. That's like the best supporting cast a rookie quarterback has gone into ever. I mean, I guess Brock Purdy, since Brock Purdy. But besides him, like, he doesn't really count.
No, nobody counts him.
He's just a
I get the Jaguars a win, and it's solely because, like, as much as I think of Caleb Williams as a prospect, and I even like the Bears, like, as a team this season, like, they should probably fight for a playoff spot. It's a rookie, you know, quarterback, relatively young team against a team that's kind of been experienced doing this. The Jaguars were 4-1 against rookie quarterbacks last year. And the only loss was to CJ Stroud. Like, the Jaguars have been the kind of team where they're not elite or even great, but they're good enough, and that good enough range, I don't really mean it's better than a team with a rookie quarterback. So I give them the edge mostly there, the difference in experience between quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I've got the next game as a win basically for that reason. Week 7 is against the New England Patriots, also in London. And so I think just the advantage and experience between the quarterbacks. I mean, Drake May might not even be starting for the Patriots, honestly. I could see them going with Jacoby Brissett through their bye or even longer than that if they were doing, I don't know, not too embarrassing with that in mind. So whether or not it's Drake May or Jacoby Brissett, though, the Jags are going to have a really big rest advantage since they'll be able to just stay in London as opposed to the Patriots having to fly in that week. And the Patriots got a big win over the Bills in this spot last year. So I think they'll be able to beat the Patriots pretty handily.
I think we see Drake May sooner than people think. And I don't know. I just refuse to believe that Bob Kraft isn't going to be annoying the hell out of every single person that works in that building, being like, all right, when's Drake going to, you know, hit the field? Like, he's one of the more involved owners in the NFL. I think sooner rather than later, you know, they're going to want to see what they have in May. Repeat everything I said about basically the Bears and the young quarterback. The Patriots are probably one of the three worst teams on paper the Jaguars will play this year. Like, they're in like a true kind of rebuild. But I don't know. I still kind of think this Patriots team could kind of punch above its weight a little bit. Like, I don't think they'll be good, but I think they'll be a little, I don't know, they'll be competitive, I think. So, but I still give the Jaguars a win here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they will be in general, but I could see the Jaguars just kind of taking care of business against them because, like, it is a pretty considerable rest advantage.
No, this is the kind of game I think if you lose, that it's a red flag, right?
Yeah. Season this is where, like, if they're, like, start out 1-3 and then they go to London and, like, split the series, then you can start to panic, I think. But if they, like, start out 1-3 and then they beat the Colts and then – like, go to London and do play well, then, like, all of a sudden you're doing well.
Do you have a panic room?
A panic room?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Do you?
Where do you think I'm at? I panic in here once a week, once every 2 weeks, depending on the NFL content schedule.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How many times have you panicked in the past month?
Don't ask me to count things. I don't know. We've done, what, 2 episodes?
3? Probably 3. This is our second episode this week. It's been a big week.
Don't get used to it, people. Don't get used to it.
Until the season comes back, perhaps. All right, so leaving London and going back to Jacksonville in week 8 to face the Packers. Going into that game, I've got the Jaguars at 4-3, and you have them at 5-2. I've got the Packers winning this one, and the Packers will have a rest advantage just because the Jaguar or a travel advantage or whatever. But I also just think the Packers are a really good team. They're my Super Bowl team. So,
are they?
Yeah. You don't. You made me pick the first episode after the Super Bowl. You made me pick one that I'm going to stick to. So I'm sticking to it. Packers are my Super Bowl team, so I think they're going to beat the Jags week 8.
You could tell me. I told you have to walk on stilts dressed as Eleanor Roosevelt for the next year, and I believe you. I don't. I have no memory of this.
All right, I'll remember that.
with that said, I also had this as a Jags loss. I think coming back from London, obviously. But then, like you said, the Packers are just a good team. I think the Jags on defensively will probably be better against teams that lean on the run as opposed to pass first teams. And I think Packers are probably going to move into just letting Jordan Love air it the hell out this year. So I have it as a loss as well. It's a loss for all of us, really. The Green Bay Packers have another quarterback. They've done nothing to deserve it.
Absolutely.
They did it again. Jordan Love, admittedly, is pretty dang good.
Speaking of quarterback factories, the next week is Sunday Night Football at Philadelphia. I've got a Jaguars win. I think kind of the flip of my method with Buffalo, where Jacksonville has won the past couple, and then I think Buffalo is going to win this year. Jacksonville has lost the last few against the Eagles, including in 2022 during a potential revenge game or just a revenge game for Doug Peterson, but they lost at Philadelphia. So he's getting another chance this year, and I think they'll be able to pull it off for Dougie.
Jaguars predictions is Jaguars lose and Nick Sirianni yells at a Jaguars fan on his way to the postgame tunnel.
I think this game will be the game that gets Nick Sirianni fired, because everyone will be
write it down.
And it's Sunday Night Football. Are you serious, Sirianni?
Write it down.
And then the Eagles are going to be like 3-5, and Sirianni's going to get canned because of the Jags.
That is – you put some heat on that. You've been throwing some heat lately, Gus. I'm proud of you.
I've been in any panic rooms. I've been in the lab, John.
You've come a long way from – Daniel Thomas will record a special teams tackle this game.
That one was just like so manufactured. I don't know. We'll get fired because of the Jags. Okay.
I had a Jags loss. I think this will probably, like, this is seen as a hot take to like the casual NFL fan, but I think the Jaguars have the quarterback advantage here. But I don't know, man. AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, just against the Jags secondary. I just think that's tough. And I think the Eagles are probably better in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So I give the Eagles a nod here.
Good point, yeah. All right, so that means we've both got the Jaguars at 5-4 heading into week 10 against the Minnesota Vikings. I had a loss here. Again, another surprising North loss. Just because I think the Jags were a little bit lucky to get two rookie quarterbacks in Caleb Williams and Drake May in London and early in the season when they're still kind of getting acclimated to the speed of the league. But I think by week 10, like, Kevin O'Connell seems like low-key a top five offensive coach. I wouldn't be surprised if he has J.J. McCarthy cooking and like the Brock Purdy to a Tonga Vaiola whatever role by week 10. And then Brian Flores, that'll be a really interesting matchup between he and Trevor Lawrence. And just it'll be cool to see how much Flores really has respect for Lawrence in terms of how much he blitzes him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm fascinated to see how the Jaguars really attack them offensively that game. I give the Jaguars the win here, mostly because I like the Jaguars' weapons more than I like what the Vikings have in the back end. So I feel like if it turns into a game where you have to score a lot, I'm taking the veteran quarterback over the rookie.
True. All right, week 11 is at Detroit. Another potential revenge game, just because 2 years ago the Jags were pretty embarrassed in Ford Field.
Dude,
it was a pretty rough game, and so they've got the chance to kind of bounce back. And the two teams, I feel like, have been kind of compared to one another, just because it was Trayvon Walker first overall and Aiden Hutchinson second overall. And then they've been on kind of similar rises over the past 2 years, kind of getting into the playoffs. And obviously the Lions are a step ahead of them right now. And so I do think the Lions are a little bit overhyped. Like, everyone loves them so much that I can't get on the bandwagon, especially with Jared Goff signing that massive contract recently.
Yeah. But we've seen their ceiling.
Yeah, but I still think they're a pretty tough team to beat in the regular season at home. So I've got a Lions win here.
Yeah, I also got a Lions win here for the same reason. I think two teams have started their rebuilds at the same time, different context with each of them, but I think the Lions have probably hit either more often or more like in more impactful ways than the Jaguars have. Like the Jaguars don't have a Penesul, you know, they
right
like drafted in the last couple of years. I don't know if the Jaguars have a Sam Laporta, you know, drafted in the last couple of years. So I get the Lions a slight edge, though. This is another game where I controversially think the Jaguars do have the better quarterback.
So controversial, John.
You say it with your chest out there, and you will be taken to a slaughter, my friend.
I'm excited. I know you're dreading it, but I'm excited for extension day. Uh-oh. I'm gonna be standing there ready to go to war with all the horses behind me.
I expect to see it. This better not be Twitter fingers over here. Like I better see you come out both barrels loaded.
I'm gonna start preparing now.
Okay, well, I will not be at your side. That's fine. I'll tell you that right now. I will not be.
That brings us to the bye week. I've got the Jags at 5-6 heading into their week 12 bye. You got them at 6-5. It's the latest bye in franchise history, right?
Yeah, more or less. I think we more or less see them kind of similarly. Like you said, latest bye in franchise history. Pretty important 6-game stretch after that. So we will get right to that after this break. I guess we're back. We both had the Jaguars hovering around 500 at this point in the season. But I'd say if that first four games is the toughest stretch of the Jaguar season, I think the last six is the most important. I mean, 66% of the AFC South games come in the last 6 weeks of the season. It's like four AFC South games in the last 6 weeks of the season. That's crazy. Like, we're probably going to see their season be made or broken, you know, around that time period. So it's a... While it's a late bye, I don't think it's a bad bye at all. You know, you face some of your tough opponents already. You did your tough traveling already. Now you get the rest up a week before you start probably, in my opinion, the most critical stretch of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the Jags that they get kind of all their tougher games out of the way and then just have to wrap up with a couple divisional games and then potential cakewalks. It kind of reminds me of the 2022 season when they had the late season surge. And they had a couple big wins against division opponents. And then also they were able to beat the Jets and the Raiders. And they got the Jets and the Raiders on the schedule late this season again, too. And so, yeah, I think if they're sitting around 500 and they're pretty healthy, I think they should be feeling pretty good about themselves at the bye.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because, I mean, so what you put out earlier, you know, assessing strength of schedule by expected win totals. The Jaguars' strength of schedule is probably what, like middle of the pack?
Yep, 16th, very middle of the pack.
Okay, so, and I'd imagine most of that is weighted towards the first half of the season. So I think if you can get through the tough first half of the season,
there's some. It'll be interesting positive. Because it's like basically like really tough teams and then like teams with rookie quarterbacks. Jags play a lot of rookie quarterbacks this year, which I think is going to end up being a positive for them.
That's. Well, when six are getting taken in the first round nowadays.
Fair.
God, you're sitting at pick 12 and you're saying, I'm going to take quarterback six. Like quarterback six used to be like a third rounder. What are we doing, dude?
that Falcons pick made that draft one of my favorite drafts ever. Like looking back on it, I think it was so fun.
It was.
Because of that pick. And just honestly, the six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks as
well. Yeah, no, it definitely was one of the more mind-boggling ones. I thought the Falcons one was like somebody in the media room was reading off the tip tweets. I thought somebody like read like a wrong account or something like that.
Yeah, I was so sure it was a wrong account.
Yeah. Alas. Right.
So, week 13, they got a game against the Houston Texans. I actually saw earlier that the Jags don't face any teams who are coming off of like their bye, which is a pretty big advantage for the Jags. And then it's also pretty huge that they get the Texans off of their own bye. So they're going to be able to kind of heal up and game plan for a long time against like what's turning into their biggest rival.
Now that I'm thinking about this game being off their bye, I wish I switched the wins and losses, but I didn't. It's in print. I'm rolling with it. Jaguars win this one.
I've got a Jaguars win too. I'm sticking with what I said in the first one, where I just think like Jaguars really are like out to prove that the Texans aren't all that. And so that plus them coming off a bye, plus it being at home, I think the Jags will be able to get a win here in early December.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't have much more like commentary like to add from the previous time they played them. Like I said, I think they're two pretty similar teams on paper, and just comes down to execution when they meet. We've seen what that looks like both ways. You know, it really feels like the Jaguars didn't take them seriously in their first meeting last year, but
yeah,
after that, you know, their second meeting, they knew how big of a game it was.
Yeah, they took it very seriously. So I just think they're going to have the same tone for both games this year. So yeah,
for sure.
You think they're going to split? I think they're going to go 2-0 against the Texans, but certainly wouldn't be surprised if it's the opposite, just because the Texans are certainly that talented. All right.
Yeah, that's 2-0 versus Texans. That's a spicy meatball, guess. All right, yeah, go on.
Oh, don't worry. I got some more spices coming up. Week 14, they play at the Tennessee Titans. It's their first game against the Titans in the season. I got a Jaguars win just because the Titans made a lot of kind of splashy moves this offseason. They were really active in terms of hires and free agency and trades and the draft. Like, there was just news about them throughout the whole offseason. But I don't – they're clearly in, like, win now mode, or at least win – have a competitive enough roster to see whether or not Will Levis is good, which I respect that in a way, but I just think – some of the specific moves weren't all that great. So I think the Titans are going to be probably one of the worst teams in the league next year, and the Jaguars should be able to take care of business.
You see, I don't even disagree. Like, I think the Titans are going to have a top eight pick the next year, but I still have the Jaguars splitting with them. The Jaguars have struggled in Nashville other than in 2022, and for whatever reason it is, I don't think the Jaguars are to the point yet where I'm going to pick them to go for a division sweep, even against the Titans at a low point. I mean, the Titans were terrible last year, and the Jaguars couldn't pull it off.
I'm pretty interested to see what the Vrabel effect is, if there's a drop-off at all, because that team was just so tough under him and hard news.
It was, but they had become so inept on offense. I actually think Callahan's going to be pretty good for them.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so do you have them at 7-6 going into Week 15?
I do.
All right. In Week 15, they play the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is coming to town if he manages to stay on the field for that long. I've got a Jaguars win just because I feel like it would be a tougher draw if the Jags played the Jets early in the season when like they were all kind of fully healthy and all together. And so, I mean, maybe there's a chance, since they have a lot of new pieces, that they actually end up kind of gelling better later in the season. But the Jets just seem like such a fragile roster that I feel like I'd be kind of surprised if it lasted through Week 15. So I think the Jags will be able to get a fairly comfortable win at home here.
No, that's not a bad take at all. I had it with a Jaguars loss. Just to me, the Jets defensive front versus the Jaguars offensive line, I think, is a game-changing level mismatch. And I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, you know, they can be competent enough on offense to, you know, complement their defense. So you put it well. If the Jets are healthy, I think this will be a tough one. If they aren't, I think Jags roll. But I'm not predicting injuries, so I have it with a Jags loss.
Gotcha. All right, Week 16 at Las Vegas Raiders. It'll be Gardner Minshew's, I think, fourth appearance against the Jaguars. I mean, he's only had one career start against them, which was last year in Week 6 for the Colts, I believe. And he was kind of pancaked over and over again in that one. He ended up having like a decent yards per attempt, but it was just because he had a lot of check down passes in garbage time. I'm looking forward to this game with Gardner Minshew starting again. I think it'll be a fairly easy Jags win.
Yeah, Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, either way, I think this is up there with the Patriots as the worst team that they're going to play. So I have this with an easy Jags win.
All right, in Week 17, they play the Tennessee Titans at home.
What do you think? Calvin Ridley revenge game. I gave him a W just because again, cop out. I said I'm having them split. I give them a W.
I think the Jags are winning this one because, again, I think the Titans are going to be, like, in the same class as the Raiders and the Patriots, honestly. Like, I was even thinking, before you said top or bottom, yeah, top eight pick, I was thinking top five pick. I think it could. Even if, like, Callahan and or Levis kind of show flashes of being good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're definitely, like, a year away kind of team.
No, I don't necessarily disagree.
So, heading into the season finale in week 18 at Indianapolis, I've got the Jaguars at 10-6, and I've got them undefeated against AFC South teams until this game against the Colts, because I think Anthony Richardson is going to be putting the cap on his MVP candidacy.
Sorry, I had to make sure my eyes didn't roll out of my head. All right, I'm good. I have the Jaguars winning this one, I think. So I have them, what is it, 9-7 going into this last game? I'm finishing 10-7. I have them winning this game and either finishing first in an AFC South battle that goes to week 18 or getting one of the AFC South or one of the AFC wildcard spots. Either way, I think the AFC South again this year is going to be three teams that are all kind of fighting for maybe one or two spots, and, you know, the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Texans. So I see the season for the third year in a row coming down to week 18, but the Jags pull it out.
I think it will come down to week 18 too, but part of the reason I gave the Colts a win here is because I had the Jaguars at 10-6 going into it, and so there's a real possibility that, like, they kind of locked up the division and might, like, rest their starters or something, so...
No, absolutely not. I hate that. Predict them to go 11-6. Predict them to go,
I had them at 10-7 too.
Predict them to go 11-6, you coward. You're not going to say you think they're going 10-7 because they rest their starters in week 18. I want to slap you.
There's a scenario where, like, they can't. They're, like, too far away from advancing from the fourth seed to the third seed, and they've already locked up the division.
Do you think it's more likely they rest their starters in week 18 than it is they go 11-6?
No.
They pick them to go 11-6.
No, but I like my Anthony Richardson take, though.
Oh, God. Okay. We both have them at 10-7. One of us has them at 10-7 in an honorable way. I'm disgusted.
We both have them at 10-7 in different ways. And so we'll have to.
Different ways. Yeah, I have the Jags winning week 18 because I think the Colts are going to sit everybody and start Jeff Saturday at quarterback.
No, I think they're going to split the series with the Colts and then go undefeated against the Titans and the Texans. And then I also had them losing every game against the NFC North.
But you think they're going to split the series because Mac Jones will be playing quarterback?
It was really just Anthony Richardson, and then you hated the take because obviously. So then I just threw in that thing, and then you.
I tolerated the Anthony Richardson take. I guffawed at this one. This one outraged.
Well, the new one was just trying to back up the old one, so just scratch the new one off.
Okay, please. Okay.
We both got them at 10-7. Any last thoughts or just remaining?
All of my takes I've kind of included in this. I think they got lucky with the London games being against two rookie quarterbacks. I think the first stretch is brutal. I really think that the week 12 bye is, like, a good thing for them. And I think it's probably going to kind of come down to week 18. And I was semi-surprised they got two primetime games, but, I mean, good for them that they did. Like you said, most teams, like, they get two primetime games and they're like, all right, that's it. And for the Jaguars, it's pretty good. So all in all, you know, I don't know. This is from my media viewing perspective.
This schedule gets a thumbs up.
I was going to say the two primetime games are good for us, especially because it's away. And so we'll be able to do the old WOH, WTH, WFH. Wow, we need to get out of here. I got to go eat something.
WTH. You just got look bald, buddy.
Work from home.
Yeah, work to
home. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, work. I'm not. Okay. But that's it. You got any more schedule takes in you?
No, I think, like, like you, I kind of go online now as we did it.
Okay, before we leave, most interesting, least interesting matchup. Most interesting, I think, is probably that Eagles game on Sunday Night Football. Least interesting, I don't know if I'd watch that Raiders game if I wasn't getting paid to have to do it.
Oh, I'm going to hate watch Gardner so bad. That's like one of my, like one of the games I would have circled. But to me, the most interesting one is the season opener actually in Miami, just because I think Mike McDaniel versus Ryan Nielsen could be pretty awesome. And it'll be just like interesting to see how those guys game plan within the game. And then for least interesting, maybe week two against the Browns. I mean, everyone's going to be excited about football in general in week two, but like the Browns just like don't seem like a very exciting team to play.
Am I wrong in saying I just haven't enjoyed watching the Browns play football for a couple of years? Like, Myles Garrett is one of my favorite players in the league. I know their defense on Jim Schwartz was awesome last year. Their defense was great last year, but just when I'm not working and watching Jags games, and I'm watching Red Zone or watching the Browns on primetime. I don't really enjoy watching them.
Even during like the whole Baker Mayfield hype in like 2020 or 2021 or whatever it was only fun to a point. I feel like it was fun when they almost upset the Chiefs in the playoffs, but then like Baker getting as much love as he did, like that wasn't exactly fun.
Yeah, I would have taken you for a Baker guy.
You would have?
Yeah,
I thought you should have been the first pick, and then he was. But I wouldn't say I really knew ball back then.
True. I don't know ball now, but nonetheless, here we are.
Schedule prediction, 10-7.
Oh, okay. Just as a bit. Yeah. So I gave it 10-7. As a bit, should I go through my actual prediction of what the schedule would be and see how wrong I was?
From last year's, you mean?
No, like I predicted what the schedule would be this year. I'm pretty sure I was like not even.
Oh, yeah. Do that.
I don't think I was anywhere in the same zip code.
Yeah, hold up.
I forgot to do it on my own yesterday, so we'll do it together and we'll get out of here. But yes, we both have them at 10-7. So we both have them in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. Where like I think a wild card spot is a little bit more likely, but I think it'll definitely come down to the last week in terms of what their seeding ends up being, whether or not they win the division.
Nobody should be mad about 10-7, right? Like, I know, third year of the regime, maybe you should hope they should be better, but just be realistic. 10-7, I think, would be a pretty good season.
I was listening to your podcast with Chuck earlier, and I was laughing because you said last season was one of the best seasons in franchise history, which, like, it kind of was.
It was.
Which is just so crazy to think about. So, like, 10-7 is definitely a step up in, like, very much a positive, good record.
All right, we ready?
Yeah.
All right. I had week one at Houston, wrong. Week two at Cleveland, only half right because it was mostly floated on Twitter a lot. Yeah, week three at Buffalo. That was before the Twitter buzz. Week four at Philadelphia. And week five versus Indy. Was that one right?
No, Indy's week six.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're right. Indy is week five. Then why do you ask?
Okay. There we go. All right. Week six at Chicago Bears. Week six
last year.
Week seven, New England Patriots. Those are gimmies. Week eight, Minnesota. Week nine, bye. Week 10, Green Bay. Week 11, Lions. I think I have like two or three right at this point. I have Titans week 12 on Thursday Night Football is the only primetime game. Texans week 13, Dolphins week 14, Jets week 15, Raiders week 16, and then closing with the Colts and Titans when in reality it switched. So I got, like three right? Maybe four right?
You have gotten four. I think you got four right.
I'll take it.
That's not bad. I mean, what did you go off of? Like, were you like looking at rumors or was it like a gut feeling thing?
Like 10-90.
10-90, nice.
Yeah, 10% the first, 90 the second.
Was it a fun exercise, or does it feel silly in hindsight?
No. It wasn't fun.
All right, well, appreciate you sharing that with us, John.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to me.
Yeah, I'm, we'll have to figure something out for next time's show and tell. But that was a good way to cap off episode 100.
That is 100 episodes of Jaguar Report. Well, thank you guys for listening. Please remember to like us, subscribe to us on every platform you have. Leave us reviews. Leave us comments. Go at Gus's neck. Do whatever you have to. We're only 20 subscribers away on YouTube, Gus, from our goal. So if you're lucky 500, you won't get nothing for it, but we'd appreciate it. So,
Senior, are you on YouTube yet?
Oh, he's buddy. He's got more YouTube accounts than you got fingers. We'll leave it at that.
All right. That's what we need. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So with that note, thank you guys for 100 episodes to listen to me and Gus yap. We will be back some point after next Monday. You know, we'll see Jaguars practice next Monday. No, we will. We will. Yeah. We'll be back sometime late next week to go over Jaguars Monday practice. So thank you guys again for listening. Thank you for 100 episodes. I'm John Shipley, my co-host, Gus Logue. Gus, you got anything else for him?
You got Bonka Bald.
Yeah, Logue Bald.
Logue Bald.
Put the horns down. No, what is UCF now? It's the Swords?
I don't know. What
is that UCF's new thing?
Folks, this is why you subscribe to YouTube. It looks like you're just doing the Windhorst, honestly.
The Windhorst?
Instead of this.
Screw you. I'm finding it. I'm not crazy. Give me a second.
You're gonna pull it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it
up. Make sure you share the screen. You've got that capability, right?
Technically, yeah. I have the capability. I wouldn't necessarily call myself capable.
For the podcast listeners, John was just holding up two index fingers and then crossing them over. What is that supposed to be?
It's crossing the swords. It's UCF. Okay, not crossing the swords. It's raising the swords. It's UCF, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so obvious. How good did I not know?
Yeah, you know what? Go to a school that shows some pride. What? Ooh, Gators chomp.
At least it's easy to do. Everyone knows it.
Not everybody knows it.
Everyone knows it.
Here we go. It is swords up. Swords up. That's what it was.
Swords up. Come on. That's so bad. No.
Swords up, baby.
That's bad, man.
Hockey ball, low ball, swords up. We'll see y'all next time.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.